Hi, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to the second episode of our study on suffering. Today, I want to address the question of origin. Ed Welsh says, "A careful review of the causes of suffering will help you to hear God's word more meaningfully, and it will lead you to the appropriate biblical response." So we want to look at the causes of suffering. Now, first of all, we want to look at the origin. Where does it actually come from? Why is there suffering in the world? And that's what we're going to address in this episode. So to answer this question, I'm going to take you to chapter 2 of Genesis. And chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. And then out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also he planted in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil he also planted there." Now the garden was created as a special place for Adam to begin to fulfill his mandate. You will remember in chapter 1 that God gives Adam and also to Eve, but so you know, they are representative of mankind. He gives us the mandate that we must rule over the creation. He says, "Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now, obviously, in the beginning, Adam is alone, Adam and Eve. And they're not able to cover the whole globe and to obey this mandate. And so what God does is he starts them out in the garden. And this is where they begin to rule. It was also the place where Adam had to learn the most fundamental lesson of his existence. And this is the lesson that comes from that tree. To teach him this lesson, God uses the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Back in chapter 2, verse 15, that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, we read, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it, to fulfill his mandate," right? Verse 16, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, because in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" Now, the fact that Adam receives a command implies that he can discern between good and evil. So I do not think that the tree, eating the tree, would have given Adam any new knowledge of good and evil, right? He wasn't deficient. He instinctively knows to disobey God would be evil and to obey would be good. But the command that God gives him, that he should not eat from the tree, affords him the opportunity to choose for himself what is good and evil, or to let God tell him what is good or evil. You see, this is the crux of the lesson that Adam had to learn. And it is this, that God determines what is right and wrong, and we cannot determine for ourselves. You see, he decides moral standards for mankind. And if we deviate from these standards, there is suffering. That's why God said, "If you eat from this tree of which I commanded you not to eat, you will die." You see, and God wraps this truth that we are dependent of him, that he determines what is right and wrong for us. He wraps that truth in the command and leaves the tree as a reminder for Adam. Now, for us looking back, the lesson from the tree stands out in bold relief. Not only do we learn the lesson from the Genesis account, or from the Genesis record, but it's repeated for us throughout the biblical history. When God leads the nation of Israel through the desert, he caused them to go hungry and then fed them with manna. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 6, Moses says that God did this to teach them a very simple lesson, and it's the lesson we learn in the tree. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Again, as you go through the wisdom literature, Solomon tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When he defines the fear of the Lord, he says that it is to hate what is evil. So the fear of the Lord is to let God determine what is good and what is evil. And then it is to hate what is evil and to pursue what is good. Solomon repeats the lesson over and over in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Excuse me, that was Proverbs 14:27. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And the lesson is that God determines what is good and what is evil, and his standards are the path to life. If we strike out on our own, if we try to determine for ourselves what is good and what is evil, that is when we suffer, right? We meet the lesson again in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 7, verse 9, Jesus says to the religious leaders, you guys are experts at setting aside the commandment of God to keep your tradition. In verse 11, he defines, gives an example of what he's talking about. He says to them, you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would have helped you is Corban. Now, Mark brackets an explanation there, and he says Corban means that is today given, that is to say given to God. So clearly here's someone who has some means that he can use to help his father and mother. And that would be, you know, the commandment of God is to honor your father and your mother, right? So we have a responsibility to do that. And now what the Pharisees did was they said, the moment you take that, whatever it was, you know, let's use, perhaps it was money that you have that you can use to honor your father and your mother. And they say, well, if you say that is Corban, that is given to God. Verse 12, Jesus says, then you say it's no longer, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. And thus, in this way, you invalidate the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down. So here was the Pharisees, the religious elite, basically making up their own traditions, adding it to God's commands, and in a very clever way, redefining what is good and what is evil. And that's what Jesus means by invalidating the command of God. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3, explains their failure by saying, brothers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Because I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, right? They are religious. They are, they show some form of desire to serve God, but not in accordance with knowledge, because not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own. There it is. They were seeking to establish their own righteousness. God has told us what is good and what is evil. And here the Pharisees add traditions, they add ideas to God's word, and so almost redefine what is good and what is evil. And because they have tried to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. You see, their failure was in seeking to establish their own definition of right and wrong. The religious leaders sought to determine for themselves what is good and what is evil. And the consequence was that they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, Paul goes on to explain that Christ is that righteousness. Here, in the gospel, the lesson comes to its head. Jesus is the embodiment of God's life-giving decrees. He is the word of God by which we live. If we strike out on our own and reject God's way through Christ, we will be condemned to eternal suffering. So the lesson from the tree is clear. As humanity, we live by God's moral standards. And if we try to determine our own, we will suffer. And the lesson is as important to you and to me today as it was to Adam. So why is there suffering in the world? What is the origin of suffering? As you know, Adam chose to determine for himself what is good and what is evil. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 records the disastrous moment for us when it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And this is where it all started. And just as God warned, suffering entered into the world through this one act of unfaithfulness, through this one act of unbelief, and through this one act of defiance in which Adam and Eve decided to choose for themselves what is good and what is evil, and not to submit to what God says is good and evil. And through that, the world has become what it is today. Now, in the next episode, I want to show you the consequences that followed this fatal decision. And that will prepare us to look at the sources of suffering in our lives today. Now, until we meet again, may the Lord, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.